This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Happened right now live to Rome for the latest news on the Church and the Vatican. Ashley Nerona is our Vatican correspondent. Ashley, good morning.
Well, good morning. Buongiorno, John.
It's good to have you back. We were just talking with the superintendent of schools in the Archdiocese of Boston to find out what their plan is to open in a COVID-19 world. Of course, Italy has been about 3 or 4 weeks ahead of where we are in the United States, particularly hard hit. And where are you right now in the different phases of reopening the country?
Well, John, we just heard from our health minister that as of today, the rule to continue to wear masks in enclosed spaces will continue. Also, the prohibition of any public gatherings is still in order. Now, this is for sure until July 31st. Right now, the country is speaking about extending the state of emergency that the country is currently under. That may go even until the end of October. So we're waiting on that. A few other changes, though, that are happening right now. You know, the last couple weeks, John, I shared with you about the hand luggage ban, the carry-on luggage ban that was instituted only for flights coming into Italy. Now, a lot of different airlines pushed back on that, and indeed that has been removed. Now, that 14-day quarantine, though, for any visitor, any tourist coming in from a non-EU country, well, that 14-day quarantine is still in place right now. Now, there's a lot of talk about the potentiality of a wave two coming, what that might look like, and also about the potential of other health problems that could spring up in patients who've had very severe symptoms of the virus. But as of now, as of yesterday, actually, there were 114 new cases throughout the entire country. Sadly, 17 people died. But I'll tell you, on the bright side, despite all of these restrictions, Italy is refusing to let go of its precious culture. And there's something special happening this summer. Since 1937, Rome has been holding a special summer opera festival. And you know what? Despite the irregularities of this year, they have no intention of breaking with tradition. And in the years past, that opera festival has always been held in the Baths of Caracalla, which is a famous ancient public bath that goes back to the 3rd century AD. But when the organizers this year realized there wasn't going to be enough space in order to comply with COVID restrictions, they decided to come up with an alternative. And so the opera festival this year, John, it's going to be held in a 2,800-year-old Roman arena. So that is the Circus Maximus, Rome's Circus Maximus. Now, this was an ancient chariot racing arena. It's going to hold the opera festival for the first time. And they've been building a giant stage. They've got a raised stand. They're going to be able to seat about 1,400 audience members who are indeed spaced wide enough apart to allow for social distancing. So people are looking forward to enjoying the Barber of Seville, the Merry Widow, also a ballet based on Vivaldi's Four Seasons. So lots to look forward to. Opera fans can rest easy and look forward to a great dose of culture despite the restrictions. John, yes.
No, I was going to say, by the way, have you ever heard Glenn do the Barber of Seville on the accordion? It is just...
I can only imagine.
It's just, yes, it's extra special. And then, you know, when he just breaks into Vivaldi after that, it's a musical experience.
And then right straight to the Birbirl Polka. Yeah,
exactly. It's a musical experience unlike any other. It's really unique. When I'm going to ask you to look into the crystal ball, Ashley, as you join us live from Rome today. When the general weekly audiences resume in St. Peter's Square, and I know they have a little bit, what's social distancing going to be like? Because those weekly audiences get very big crowds with pilgrims from all over the world.
Yes. So the audiences are going to resume in August, and we are still waiting to hear what that's going to be like. But more and more, it's leaning toward the fact that they will be held indoors now. And so continue to be held from the library. That could change because, again, if on July 31st, these restrictions that I just mentioned are lifted, then public gatherings may have a little bit more freedom. So the Vatican is also on watch and wait right now. So we'll see how it all plays out.
And it's providential that we're having this conversation about health and the COVID-19 pandemic with Father Rocky. We were speaking about the feast day of St. Camillus de Lillis, and that feast day was on the 14th. How was that celebrated in Italy?
Absolutely. You know, he, of course, as you bring up, John, he is the patron saint of the sick, of hospitals, of nurses and physicians, and his remains are here in Rome. So, you know, he had a major conversion in his life after serving in the military and had a major injury from that, got into gambling, but ended up out of work, working for some Capuchin fathers who really saw the good in this man, and he eventually came to the faith. He then devoted his life to caring for the sick. He eventually received permission from his confessor, who, by the way, was St. Philip Neri, to be ordained, and he founded his own congregation. So they were dedicated, they're the ministers of the sick. And so on his feast day yesterday, Italians flooded the church of St. Camillus here in Rome, where his remains are, and especially asking for his prayerful intercession in bringing an end to this COVID situation. And by the way, John, it's St. Camillus who we have to thank for the Italian Red Cross, and the Camilliani, right, the order, wears a big red cross on their habit, John.
Yeah, we learned that yesterday when Father Rocky was talking about St. Camillus de Lillis, his feast day yesterday. Of course, today is the feast day of St. Bonaventure.
Yes, another good Italian boy. And don't think that these Italians would ever let a good feast go by despite any situation. Now, this is being celebrated in the area of his hometown. St. Bonaventure was born in a town called Civita. And this is an ancient town high on a plateau. But sadly, it's what is called a dying town. Now, it's position on the plateau is in constant danger of destruction because the edges of that plateau over the years have been collapsing due to erosion. So that means the buildings have just been crumbling as their underlying supports have fallen away. Erosions, landslides have really wiped out most of the town. Now, believe it or not, there is a population of 11 people in the village. But one of the structures that still stands there today is the facade of the birth home of St. Bonaventure. And when I say facade, I mean literally only the facade, because the whole rest of the house has been eroded and has fallen down the plateau. But right next door to Civita is a town called Bagnoregio. And the only way to get to this charming village of Civita is by a footbridge. And the footbridge goes from Bagnoregio all the way to Civita. And he's also the patron of that town of Bagnoregio. And so this year, there's a special mass that's being celebrated in the Cathedral of San Nicola there. And then inside is a beautiful silver reliquary in which are relics of his right arm. And afterwards, the statue of St. Bonaventure will be transported through the streets with a musical band playing along. Now, typically in the past, there would also have been today theatrical performances, a food festival to especially enjoy local foods. That's not going to be able to happen, but we sure hope that next year things will be a little bit more normal, John.
Ashley Nerona joining us live from Rome this morning here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app at 17 minutes before the hour. And of course, tomorrow is the beautiful feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
Yes. And in fact, I'm going to celebrate it in a very special way. I'm actually going to make a pilgrimage to the city of Naples. There in Naples is a beautiful church dedicated to Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And in it is a 12th century icon of the Virgin and Child. Now, this church itself was founded in the 13th century by Carmelite friars. And the story is that they were driven from the Holy Land during the Crusades. And they built this beautiful church to house a painting that they brought called the Madonna Bruna the Brown Madonna, and also a beautiful crucifix inside that has an interesting story. Now, this crucifix is particular because it's missing the crown of thorns on the head of Christ. And the story goes that the crown fell off as Christ's head moved when the building was struck by a cannonball in 1439. So tomorrow, to celebrate this special feast day, there are 12 masses that are being celebrated. One.
Oh, I think we lost our connection to Ashley Nerona. But Ashley, if you're still hearing us, if you can send us photos when you make that pilgrimage to Naples tomorrow of the Madonna Bruna, we would love to put that up on our social media as we get ready to celebrate Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And we'll be talking about the beautiful feast day of Our Lady of Mount Carmel with a number of our guests tomorrow on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And of course, just before we lost that connection to Rome with Ashley, we should mention that Ashley and her husband, John, have founded the Truth and Beauty Project. And that provides Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. And you can learn more at truthandbeautyproject.com. That's truthandbeautyproject.com.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Nerona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.